Okay, so my toaster strudel strategy was like this. Basically, in a household with other people that would be eating out of the toaster strudel box when we had toaster strudels, because we were more of a Pop-Tart family because they were cheaper, but we would occasionally get the toaster strudels when they were on sale, and I loved that frosting. I mean, that frosting was just probably pure sugar and lard. And so what I would do is I would have my toaster strudel in the morning, but I would then take my sugar lard packet and I would hide it in some remote part of the freezer where nobody could find it.
Yes.
And now, if I was more diabolical, I would be like, oh, I didn't get a sugar packet, and leech off somebody else's. But I wasn't. I would just save them until like Friday, and then I would have like whatever, two or three of those sugar packets, and then all the sugar lard went on my toaster strudel on that day.
Oh, glorious.
Wow. It's like toaster strudel Christmas.
It's like toaster strudel Christmas, correct. And my teachers got to deal with like Sugar Crash Tom, which was fun. But man, that was probably the fattest thing I did as a kid.
You know, my mom was notorious for eating all of the marshmallows out of the Lucky Charms the moment they would get home from the supermarket.
What?
And I remember one morning having a meltdown because I poured Lucky Charms into the bowl and it was just all like the wheat bits, no marshmallows. And I had a complete meltdown, like I was yelling, and I was like, you ate all the marshmallows, there's not even any more Lucky, it's just Charms.
And I'm sure this was pre, like, you know, these days the Lucky Charms are actually slightly sugar-coated, so I'm sure they were just like plain wheat-tasting kind of like bits.
Yeah, it was like if you punched them out of cardboard. Into the bowls.
Yes.
Yeah.
Something you fished out of a dog bowl. They were pretty gross without the marshmallows, so.
It was pretty depressing.
I'll have to try the new style Lucky Charms at some point, but I guess we should get this episode going. Greetings, decisive listeners, and welcome to episode 1 1/4 of the Nerdtravaganza podcast. Everyone's obvious choice for a quality podcast, if they like good cereal, that is. I'm Tom.
I'm Eric.
I'm Brian.
And I'm Nick.
And tonight we're going to have a little fun with a game of Which One Goes. But first we'll decide which one of us goes first for our traditional weekly, geekly, geeky weekly update. I'll decide, actually. Nick, why don't you go first?
Okay, I'll go for it. Usually a lot of my weekly updates consist of gaming and TV show watching, so I'm kind of into the process of the fourth season of Lost. But enough about that. I actually got back into Skyward Sword because I've been really meaning to beat it. And I just got my Master Sword up and ready, so I'm pretty sure I'm close to finishing the game. And as for that, I think that's pretty much it. Mine was pretty short and sweet. I did go to the Everglades this weekend for the very first time. I've lived here for about 12 plus years in Florida, and it was my first time going to the Everglades. Went there with some buddies of mine to make a little amateur comedy short film of some sort. So, yeah, I thought it was really nice. Like, I'm kind of disappointed I held myself back from going there in such a long time. I was never offered to go there as a... Like, there was never a field trip. I guess if I went here in elementary school, probably would have got a chance to go then. But no regrets, and I'd like to go there again one day.
Cool. Skyward Sword is an excellent game. It's good that you're playing it. And don't ever call the Everglades a swamp in Eric's hearing. He will promptly...
I was staying so calm. I was like, it was his first trip. Maybe he didn't get the educational tour. I'll let it slide.
It's a river of grass.
It is a river. It is, yes. It is flowing. It is a river. It is the widest river in the U.S.
Mm.
Yes, all that. All that and more that I learned in science class. But Eric was not shy at all about reminding me when I refer to the Everglades as a swamp for figurative purposes.
I thought I heard a sigh of some sort as I was explaining that.
Yeah, you're walking on glass there for a second. Speaking of Eric, what's up, man? What have you been up to?
Let's see. I went to see Guardians of the Galaxy for the third time. I wanted to catch it one more time before it left theaters. No regrets there whatsoever.
Hmm.
Finally caught the premiere, because I refused to watch it when it leaked. I wanted to catch it so that I could just keep watching the show in sequence. So I finally watched The Flash.
Ah.
I liked it. There are some mixed emotions on the internet, but overall I was pretty happy with it. The one grief I keep seeing on the internet is people going, people don't talk like that. It seems emotionless and like a soap opera. And my reply is, have you read a comic book? they're not really known for their natural banter.
Right.
So I have absolutely no problems with it. I enjoyed the show. I don't know if you guys caught it or how you felt about it, but I liked it.
No, I'm away from cable at the moment. So unless it's on Hulu or something.
It is on Hulu. It is on Hulu.
I may have to give it a go.
Yeah.
It's tied together with Arrow, correct?
They tied it in, and apparently there's going to be some crossing over here and there. Apparently eventually leading into something bigger.
Mm. Oh.
Which sounds they're cool. Very hush on, but everyone is like, okay, yeah, you're going to do Justice League, we know.
Looking forward to that. Is the fan theory that the stars of these television shows will star in a Justice League movie at some point?
Or at least they'll have bit parts crossed into it, yeah.
Cool. Really cool. That'll compete nicely with the Marvel empire that is burgeoning.
Yeah, I'm currently believing that DC is winning television while Marvel is winning theaters.
I can buy it. I mean, I watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but these DC shows seemed better received, so...
I think they're better shows. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., honestly, I barely watch, if at all. I haven't kept up with it. I'll watch it here and there. If I just see, like, an episode of Hulu and I got nothing else to watch, I'll watch it on there, but it's not great.
Hmm. Okay, good. Good to know not missing anything. Anything else?
The last thing, and this is very brief, is I had to run to my local Hallmark store because the new ornaments are out for 2014 for the holiday season. And this year's included both a Godzilla one and a really amazing alien one. So I got very excited for the 35th anniversary. There's a really awesome alien ornament, and you guys know me. I'm obsessed. So I had to buy it. And the best thing about it is not the ornament itself. The sculpt is awesome. It's a beautiful ornament. But here's the best thing about it. That on the front, it's got a picture of the creepy alien. It's got the word alien. It's got the glowy egg with the 35th anniversary. Very menacing. And then on the side are snowflakes and the words, very bubbly, be merry.
That's great.
That's about it.
Is that limited edition? I might have to have you swing by and get me one of those.
They all are. They do them just year to year, so there's different ones every year. And they haven't done an alien one either ever or in a really long time. I think they did one that was like a 3D of the movie poster a few years back. Maybe I want to say 5 years back for the 30th anniversary.
That's cool. I'm going to have to start a Christmas tree. Get me some collector's ornaments.
Yeah. They have some nice Star Wars and Star Trek ones every year, too.
Oh, I didn't even know all that. Anything else?
That's it for me.
It's over to you, Brian, but before I ask you to commence with your update, did you know about those ornaments?
Yeah.
You didn't tell me.
Not really a huge Christmas guy, Tom.
You or me?
You.
I'm not? I love Christmas. What are you talking about?
I don't think I've ever seen you have a tree.
Well, I have lights. Because I didn't know there were cool ornaments for a tree.
There's a bunch of Star Trek, Star Wars ships, usually.
I'm going to start having a tree. It's going to be Christmas time from like December 1st till the 25th in Tom's house.
At least we know what to get you this year. We can get you old Hallmark ornaments.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Star Wars exclusive ornament this year is Figrin Dan and the Modal Nodes, the Cantina Band.
That's awesome. Wow, we're almost there. We're at Halloween. It's the gateway to the holiday season. Wow. But I forgot. This is the gateway to Brian's update. What have you been up to, man?
I have been organizing my comics and making a list of any holes I have in back issues in preparation for Tate's... It's not a sale, because that's his anniversary in March, April, but whatever semi-anniversary tent sale they do in October, his Halloween sale.
Okay.
And I watched, God, what's it called? Star Wars Rebels, like, 5 times.
5 times, so it was good.
Sure. I liked the pilot a lot. The latest episode was a little... Yeah. It didn't live up to the pilot, but the pilot gave me a lot of hope.
A new hope.
There was some news on that, actually, that ABC is going to be re-airing the pilot episode with additional footage that will include Darth Vader, which will be voiced by James Earl Jones.
Cool. Got to get the voice work in from him while you can. He's getting up in years, is he not?
He is. As long as he doesn't yell no, I'm pretty good with it.
I'm kind of, having seen the episode... It's going to be like an appearance. It's going to be like one of those cheesy, oh, excuse me, like in the hallway scenes. Like, he's just not in the episode. I'm not a huge fan of, like, shoehorning him in.
That raises an interesting question for me, though. So it's not just the Disney XD network. It also will be airing on ABC?
Yeah, but delayed. It's going to be like a month behind. And I guess they're going to do some special edition-y stuff to the ABC episodes here and there.
Oh, boy. The last time we had that sort of tinkering on Star Wars, we got great results.
Yeah, this is new enough where I figure you're not hurting it. It's the same team doing both. But yeah, I agree with you.
Okay. So, Brian, sorry, your update continues?
That was it. Star Wars Rebels and Tate's.
Okay. Tate's being the flagship comic store in our greater Fort Lauderdale area. If you're in our area, come visit us and then go check it out.
Oh, you know what? I'll mention something else just because this is a good opportunity for me to be exposed to something. There was a list recently of the top 20 comic book stores in the entire country. Did any of you guys catch that?
No.
So, totally off topic, not related to anything we just discussed, but what South Florida comic book store do you think you would see on a list of the top 20 comic book stores in the nation?
Tate's, maybe?
Any consensus there? Anybody dissenting?
Yeah, I mean, what else would it possibly be?
Max Comics in Miami Beach.
Wait, what?
I've never even heard of it. I've lived here 35 years. Max Comics in Miami Beach.
I have no idea what that is.
Matt's with two T's or with an
Max
X?
Max with two C's.
Max Comics in Miami Beach over Tate's.
Yep.
I almost think we have to do a field trip to figure out why that place rated such a attention.
I'm always down for a field trip, but I'm willing to bet they paid more.
Wow, okay, that sucks. What listing was this? Who was doing this list?
I don't remember. I clicked it off in disgust as soon as I saw that like a comic shop was not listed, Tate's was not listed, and some place that's right down the street from me that I've never heard of.
Okay. That sucks. Sorry to hear that the shops that deserve it didn't get the nod. That's
Tate's was robbed, yo.
Absolutely. Okay, thank you for the update, and that brings it around to me. As I'm getting ready to depart Seattle, I did a little socializing, which is always nice to do right before you leave town. A mutual friend of Eric's and mine, and Brian, you know him as well, also named Brian, came up to visit. He recently moved to Portland, so he came up for the weekend, and we hung out on Saturday and went over another friend of mine's house, John, who lives here in Seattle, a new friend I made. And we did some local multiplayer gaming on his computer, hooked up to his TV, running Steam. And I've got to say, I was really impressed by the Steam Big Picture mode. It really delivers a console-like experience, and it made me really think hard about building a computer, again, as I often do. The games we played included Nidhogg, which is a kind of like competitive sword game where you're trying to gain ground on your opponent. Actually, really funny. Another one that's kind of a goofy, like, physics torture game, I call it, called Mount Your Friends. Kind of ridiculous.
New Tinder?
Mount Your Friends was probably going to be the Tinder replacement until somebody used that name for a video game, Eric. I thought you weren't supposed to mount your friends because it, like, ruins the friendship or something.
Have you met my friends?
That's a good point. let's see, apart from mounting our friends, we played a really cool, like, baseball-themed fighting game called Lethal League. That was also a lot of fun. Great music, really cool graphics, cool characters. Basically a four-player fighter where you keep hitting this baseball back and forth, and it just gets faster and faster and faster and faster, and it just gets down to luck whether or not you can deflect it or kill your opponents. Really cool game. Also played Dive Kick, a fairly well-known fighting game that only has two buttons, where you basically just dive and kick your opponents to death. And after losing pretty consistently at all those games, I insisted that we played some Street Fighter 4 Arcade Edition or some variant thereof, and I held my own as usual at Street Fighter. That is one thing I've been consistently pretty good at my whole life, or most of my life. So a great time playing Steam. I'm very convinced that you could have a happy life if you had no consoles and had a decent computer hooked up to your TV. In addition to that, of course, I've been playing some Final Fantasy 14 with Brian and Nick. Things are progressing. It's been fun. And that's it. That's all I have. Which brings us to tonight's episode. Tonight, we are going to play a game of Which One Goes. And for the benefit of our audience and any of my co-hosts who do not know how this game works, I will go over the rules. Basically, I toss out two things, and we have to vote on which one goes. The rules are really simple when it comes to the voting. One, you must decide. Two, you cannot decide by committing suicide exactly once, after which time your forlorn soul continues to vote on the rest of the items but cannot help but vote. 3, you can choose to hold on to your suicide and not spend it so that you can later negate somebody else's vote. But 4, you've got to be careful when you do that because they can in turn use their suicide point to negate your negate or negation or whatever that noun is that I'm trying to pull out of my butt. So in a single turn, you can have everybody blow all of their suicide points if things really get contentious. So could get interesting. Might be that we agree with everything. Let's find out. Anybody need a do-over on those rules before we get going?
Let's just figure it out as we go, but I think we got it.
Oh, boy.
Do you want to do, like, a little example one,
no,
Tom?
I'm just kidding. No, I was saying old boy jokingly. Oh, boy. Famous last words. We've done enough gaming to know where that leads.
Channeling your inner Sam Beckett.
All right. Here you go. Start off with a really easy one. Which one goes? Patrick Stewart, who has played Captain Picard in Professor X, or Ian McKellen, who has played Magneto in Gandalf? And we'll go in this order. Eric, you go first.
I have to say farewell to Ian McKellen.
Okay.
He's got to go. I'm sorry. Nobody replaces Picard. Nobody does.
All right, Ian getting the boot. What about you, Brian?
Ian McKellen.
Also goes. That's 2 for Ian McKellen.
Just playing life expectancy there.
Nick.
I'm going to have to go with Ian McKellen as well for a farewell.
Well, that's understandable. Okay, so that brings it around to me. And I have to agree Ian McKellen goes because Patrick Stewart is awesome. And I really like Ian McKellen, but I kind of agree with Brian's point about the life expectancy, I think. We're going to get more bang for our buck out of Patrick Stewart.
Like, I'll be genuinely sad if and when Ian McKellen passes away. Not that he won't pass away. I'm saying, like, there's always the possibility that I die before it happens, and then I won't regret it or miss it or be upset. But when he dies, I think one of the things I'll upset the most is the awesome internet friendship that he and Patrick Stewart have, more than anything else.
I don't want to jinx us, but if he goes in the next week, I know what I'll feel bad about.
Well, yeah.
What am I missing?
Voting for him.
Yeah, this episode.
Oh. Oh, wow, I didn't even put that together. I don't want either of them to go, but if one has to, right, unfortunately, it has to be Sir Ian. I think he's a sir.
He is a sir.
Excellent.
Or the imaginary character we thought was a human being was a sir before we blinked him out of existence.
That's right. Yeah, so I don't know if I made that clear. When you vote for something to go, it is erased from existence. It has never existed. But so as not to complicate things, let me add that everything else stays the same. So anything that may have resulted from that thing more or less stays the same now, I guess. It just had some other cause that wasn't as much to your liking, okay? Does that make sense?
So Gandalf and Magneto are still in the movies. They're just played by Bobcat Goldthwait or something else.
Yeah, right, right. They're played by Jeff Goldblum or something. Right, exactly.
Yeah. What? I didn't watch either of those.
Jeff Goldblum is a okay. You got Frodo. Do your thing. You know, throw the ring. Throw it. I can't do an impression, but you get my point. That halting Jeff Goldblum voice.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay. Another easy one. Well, yeah, this one's easy. I think I know where the way this one's going to come down. Which one goes, Gungans or Ewoks?
Oh, this is a no-brainer.
Yeah, I think it is too.
Yeah, Gungans got to go. I'm not even going to sit here and discuss this one. They're just gone.
Gungans gone. Brian?
Gungans.
Nick?
Gungans.
I want to say Ewoks just to foil, but you've already carried it, and I really hate Gungans, and I want them gone. Goodbye, Gungans.
You know, Ewoks were annoying, but they worked in the context of the film, even if they were silly and cute. But they never made me want to just, like, choke myself. They never made me angry.
Right. I don't believe them, like, destroying an entire legion of the Emperor's best troops, but whatever.
Yeah.
Gungans annoy me just by existing. Okay. Next one. Klingons or Cardassians?
I love Cardassians. I really, really do. They were my favorite thing to come out of anything post-original Star Trek. However, you can't mess with classic stuff. Like, they're just, the Klingons are too much a part of the lore of Star Trek to get rid of. So I got to keep Klingons and get rid of Cardassians.
Okay. And Brian?
Cardassians.
The Cardassians go. Okay. Nick?
I'll have to say the Cardassians as well.
Okay. And I will also say the Cardassians. But let me...
Wait, were we talking about Kim Kardashian?
I was just going to throw a Kardashian loop thing in. If you get rid of the Cardassians, they are replaced with the Kardashians.
Oh, yeah, no, let's get rid of the Klingons.
Right, then the Klingons go, I think we all agree. No. Okay, good. So we all came down getting rid of the Cardassians. I like them too, but the Klingons are the ultimate, like, belligerent space race. Okay. Let's step into a realm of fantasy. Which one goes? Elves or dwarves?
I don't want to go first anymore.
Okay, let's mix it up. Brian, you go first.
Dwarves.
Dwarves go. Nick.
Dwarves, they're ugly little buggards.
Wow, it sucks to be a dwarf. Eric?
I'm going elves.
Elves go, so dwarves
elves
remain.
Elves go.
I'm a little torn on this one. I instinctively like elves because they're so, like, beautiful. But I actually like dwarves and their, like, tinkering, mining, rough, gruff ways. So I'm actually going to get rid of elves and keep dwarves around. We have a tie. Does anybody want to spend a suicide point to move this in one direction or the other?
I just want to throw my logic out there and see if that helps first before I go wasting points.
Okay, hit it.
First of all, the two reasons why I keep dwarves. One is they make better video game characters. They just do. Like, I can't think of a really memorable elf from a video game.
Link.
He's not really an elf.
Well, he ain't a dwarf.
No, he's not either of those, so he's not even part of this equation. And two, I like when little people have work.
Hey, but they don't anymore. The new dwarves are just people, like, CG scaled into, like, smaller stature.
Oh, I know, and that has bothered me, to be honest with you. But, no, I want my little people to have work. And so we need more dwarf roles and less elf roles.
It's sound logic. Anybody want to try to counter that? Although we can leave it with a tie.
I just really don't like short things.
Well, certain species of elves, depending on the mythology you're in, are small. Like Keeblers or something, you know?
Nah, I don't believe in any of that. Keeblers are sprites or fairies or something.
I always thought Keeblers were like a hybrid. They were like dwarfy elves. Not really.
Dwelves.
Dwelves.
What about the elves from the beginning of the movie Elf?
They
were kind of tiny.
Those were like creepy, like... Oh, wait, elf. No, you're talking yeah, Santa elves now.
Yeah. Santa elves.
That's true, Brian. Santa elves are, like, by all accounts, like, you're still got to go kind of sprites with them.
But in the beginning of the conversation, you said, let's go fantasy, and Santa's real, so his elves are real.
That's true. We can't really bring real-world elves into the conversation. I think we just have a draw here, and I should have stipulated some penalty for a draw like we all spent our suicide point, but I won't. So we've got a draw, elves or dwarves. I guess they both have to go.
You know what? This one doesn't mean enough to me to spend my point on.
Okay, I hope you enjoy Link being like a goblin, then.
That's fine. Goblins are awesome. Also played by little people. Thank you.
Again, not anymore. You need to watch the Lord of the Rings, my man.
I know. Stupid CG.
All right, moving on. Here's one that I think is going to be hard because I don't know which one I would rather go away. Remember, this gets erased from existence. Which one goes? Gamergate or The Fappening? Do you guys know what those...
I do know what they both are. My question is this, though. When we say that one goes away, does that mean that the conversation about it and what happened goes away, or that the people who initiated it in the first place and all of the chaos all goes away?
Any way you want to skin it, all of the events that it took to make that happen go away. So all, no matter what side you're on, no matter who's good or bad in your mind, all of that goes away. This whole thing never happened.
Okay.
And let's mix it up. I'll go first this time. I would get rid of Gamergate.
Yeah, I'm with you. Gamergate's got to go.
Yeah, same here. Gamergate is no.
Yeah, I agree. Gamergate was close to home. The Fappening didn't affect me at all.
Right. As well, bad as...
Should we clarify for the audience what these things are?
There's a link in the notes.
Do you really want a link to the Fappening?
That would be great.
Basically, for listeners who don't know by now, Gamergate is a sort of feminist battle going on in gaming that grew out of a female game developer's personal relationships with some journalists coming to the surface and calling into question the validity of video games journalism. And then, of course, you know, misogyny and counter-misogyny and all this got mixed into it. And then somehow Anita Sarkeesian, the video game critic, got pulled into it. It has just grown and grown. It's like at the end of Akira. It just keeps growing and growing and absorbing things. And I just wish it would go away. That's my appraisal of Gamergate.
Anybody disagree? I want it to go away. No, I agree with you. I just want it to go away. I'm not opposed to the conversation. I think it's a necessary conversation. I was never opposed to the conversation, but it has turned violent. It has honestly become, like, menacing, and that's the only reason I want it to go away. I don't want it to go away because I want the conversation to go away. I want it to go away because I'm convinced somebody's going to get hurt.
I really object to, like, one asshole ruining an important conversation. It hasn't gone violent. One, like, social reject started making threats, and everybody is just like, nope, gotta stop.
Mm-hmm. Right, I understand, like, law enforcement has to take a, you know, zero tolerance policy when some mouth breather on the internet's like, I'm gonna kill you and rape you because I'm a freaking spaz. Like, I really would like to punch the people who made those threats. I think they are idle threats, but I understand that if you call law enforcement and say, hey, somebody on Twitter said they're gonna murder me, law enforcement is always going to say, okay, you need to get out of the house. I don't know how credible those threats were. I don't know how I would react. Well, I know how I would react to the threats, but it really sucks that things got to that level. It also sucks that that is yet one more dimension to this stupid Gamergate thing.
Well, the thing was, is that guy just wouldn't stop. Like, if you looked at the thread that was screen capped, like, it wasn't like just one or two messages that he sent or tweets. He had like six or seven, like, persistently saying, like, those things that he was willing to do against that woman.
But you do understand, we're letting one person dictate at the course of our democracy.
It always takes one for somebody to ruin something. But I get what you're saying.
Again, if it's not clear now why I want Gamergate to go away, and I think we all do, I don't know what else we could do. I'll discuss the Fappening, which is also, like, gets second place for annoying, and annoying isn't the word, but for unacceptable. Basically, the private cloud storage of some celebrities was compromised, and intimate photos, nude photos, were leaked onto the internet. I understand that celebrities are in the public light and paparazzi are a reality, and when they're in public, they're visible and they're seen. But this is a violation of privacy, and I cannot condone it, and I wish it had never happened. It's not cool.
Right. I wish it never happened as well.
Yeah. Anybody want to back me up on that?
Both of these things are highly offensive. Both of them really were. Both of them were unacceptable behavior. Both of them cast gaming as a whole in a really awful light. I just think that Gamergate's getting kind of out of control. Not that the Fappening, whatever you want to call it, it's the worst name they've ever given something, by the way, but was in any way acceptable, and if I could make it go away, I would. Like, if it didn't, the leak didn't happen in the first place, or if the pictures didn't exist in the first place, that's fine. That'd be great. But I don't think anyone is going to get hurt or have to flee their home as a result of it.
Again, it's debatable whether somebody needed to flee their home and with response to Gamergate, but yeah, it's not threats. And it's funny that you said that it had an effect on gaming. The Fappening wasn't really gaming focused, but in the popular imagination, who do you imagine are the people who compromise those accounts and are then sharing the pictures on the internet, right?
And that has completely what it has become. Like, I'm not finding the long threads of people debating it and making lewd comments and being crass or fighting it on either end on, like, people.com. I'm finding it on, like, Joystick. Finding it on Giant Bomb. Like,
right, yeah. Our little ecosystem is the collector for crap like this, unfortunately.
It's interesting to me that we find an actual invasion better than the threat of an invasion.
Meaning an actual compromise of people's privacy is not as bad as the threats that, the again, what I will call idle threats by just mouth-breathing trolls towards these targets in the Gamergate.
We may be totally wrong. Maybe someone will do something. But at the moment, nothing has happened. But an actual attack, like an invasion, has happened on the Fappening.
Yeah, I mean, I guess...
See, I treat threats like the threats that we saw in those messages as an actual attack. you could say, like, oh, nothing actually physically violent happened, but here they actually used, you know, the spoken word, whatever you want to call it, the written word, to strike fear into someone. It's a form of terrorism, and literally drive them from their home out of fear. That's already an attack.
I mean, I see your point, but geez, unfortunately, the internet allows everybody to shoot off at the mouth and threaten and menace and all this stuff. And again, I understand you have to have an abundance of caution around this stuff, but I don't for a second think that any of these dorks have it in them to hurt anyone besides probably a pizza. I mean, that's...
I mean, I'm all for it. Arrest the guys, you know, send them to jail, to prove that it's not okay to do it. I'm not saying it is okay to do it, but this is like thought police. I said I'm going to do something versus I did something. The people who hacked those accounts did something.
Yeah, that's a crime has definitely been committed. If they had said, I'm going to hack your account and leak your photos, I guess we'd have a more apples to apples comparison. But they did leak the photos. Your point's taken, but I think our vote for Gamergate still pretty much stands, right?
Yeah, keep in mind, this was also, like, the threats weren't just directed at the person. They were directed at their family and their children.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Okay, so Gamergate stands, unless anybody has an objection. 1, 2, 3, going once, twice, three times. That was contentious, and moving on. Which one goes? Nintendo or Sega? Brian.
Sega's gone. What are you talking about?
Well, in the chances that it was still alive, I guess? I mean, it is there in Japan, but you're talking about, like, if they had a console, right? Because the company is still kind of around.
Name one property you would even play if they all came out tomorrow.
I'd play, well, the Sonic Racing game. I'd play a good Sonic game.
You can't say I'd play a good.
I'd play a Phantasy Star.
Does Sega still own that?
I don't know.
Yes, they do.
I'd play Shinobi. I'd play a good Shinobi if it came out. If they came out with a Shinobi, I'd play some stuff.
So what were you talking about, Tom, when you said Sega?
Right. Again, which one... Take it however you want. Actually, I shouldn't even have defined it for you. It's up to you to define it how you want, really. Nintendo or Sega? Those entities, those brands, everything they've ever done, erased from the space-time continuum.
That is tough.
However you want to skin that cat.
Got it.
So, Brian, you vote first.
God, I still say Sega's already gone. We may as well vote that way.
Okay.
All right.
What about you, Nick?
I'm going to say Sega's gone.
Sega's gone. All right. Eric?
This one hurts only because when I think nostalgically, the Dreamcast is my favorite console ever made. Ever. And I'm probably all alone in that one. I'm sure there are maybe a few other people like me, but I love the Dreamcast. I still love my Dreamcast. It's a perfect console to me. I absolutely love it. That said, everything I love about Sega at this point in my life is nostalgic.
Mm.
Everything. So if you're wiping out just the memory of Sega, which is all I really have anyway, I don't know how much I'd miss it if it was just gone. It wouldn't affect my current day. So yeah, I gotta get rid of Sega and keep Nintendo.
That's a shame because, like, Sega was always ahead of its time, like, with a lot of things that they were doing. But, yeah, it's really, like, I'll have to agree with you on that because I feel the same way about Sega, minus the Dreamcast being the greatest console. Again, that, like, they did some things that some other consoles weren't doing at the time, which was very interesting, namely, internet play. But, they had a few gems. It's just, if only they tightened down on the, piracy, which I don't know how they would have been able to do that. Maybe a proper format or CD to prevent...
There we go, blaming the victim again.
Well, that's just the way I see it.
No, I agree. And by the way, guys, as much as I love Sega, I will also say that they have to go. And we'll invite Brian to remember with me the rage, the unfettered nerd rage that we felt as, like, one piece of crap after another would come in and ask how to, like... Or ask if we knew how easy it was to steal Sega games for the Dreamcast. Remember that?
Yeah, I don't get that. You didn't do enough to protect the product that I stole because I'm a piece of shit.
They would come in, like, bragging, like, bro, you know how easy it is to copy these shits? And they would, like, buy the game and then bring it back. Like, you're a piece of garbage.
Where I'm sure they rented it. You could do the same thing, like, if you rented it from Blockbuster. But, yeah, it's pretty shitty.
The thing that killed me is that I would object, and, like, it didn't even dawn on people, like, bro, like, why would you pay for them? These games are expensive. God.
God. Good Lord.
Not a fan of piracy, but okay. Sega goes, I would hate, the world would be a worse place. The gaming world would be a worse place without Sega, but Sega goes, Nintendo definitely wins that round. Bringing us to the next round, which is which one goes? Again, the brand, systems, experience, however you want to think about it. Xbox or PlayStation? And let's start with you, Nick.
I'm going to have to say that... Yikes. I'm going to go with Xbox. Gotta go. It's gotta go with all the bros that came with it.
You view that as a very bro-y system?
Yeah. I mean, there was a few games that I truly enjoyed, Gears of War being one of them, but when I try to think about the whole history between the two, PlayStation has something better to offer, so gone with Xbox.
All right, Brian.
I have a lot of love for PlayStation, so it just comes down to I don't hate the Xbox, but I can't get rid of PlayStation. Mm.
I've never heard you talk anything positive about the Xbox, so I didn't know you had any kind of history with it.
Brian? Or me?
No, Brian.
Brian, you were a pretty big 360 guy, weren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He was on board with the 360. But, okay, so we've got two votes for Xbox going, is that right?
Yes, correct.
Okay. Yeah, Brian can't get rid of PlayStation, but I can. and yeah, PlayStation is getting my vote to go away. And I'm going to go ahead and defend the bros on this one. And not because they're awesome. I hate them just as much as you do. The difference is, and I think this is the proof in the pudding, the reason there are so many bros on the Xbox is not because they decided to jump on board a different console or somehow it was better for sports gaming. That actually does kind of lead to the point. It just networks better. And better networking means a lot more jerks.
It definitely does.
Yeah.
So one vote for Xbox, and now it comes down to me to decide. Let me say that I have played my share of both systems. Let me also say that I'm pretty nonpartisan. I'm always a person who owns all the systems. But I get rid of PlayStation because I view Xbox as the spiritual avenger of Sega, even though that's not really true and there's no chain of corporate stewardship or whatever that would justify that feeling. That's just how I feel. I wasn't one of the people that bought an Xbox to avenge the Dreamcast, but I definitely felt like the 360 was, in a way, the Dreamcast reborn to give PlayStation what was coming. So I vote that PlayStation goes.
And even though I still stand with my vote, I think the 360 has the best online experience to date when it comes to console gaming.
So we voted Sega out of existence, but we're mad at Sony for messing with Sega when they did it.
Correct, yes. That is pretty much the inconsistency.
You didn't give me a Sony versus Sega vote. That would have gone very differently.
Well, I've got the next best thing, but it comes as a result of the winners of this contest. So we voted that Nintendo should stay and that Xbox should stay. So now we have to decide.
Well, we're tied.
Oh, are we?
Aren't we? Two PlayStation, two Xbox.
Wait, no, I voted for PlayStation to go, did I not? Oh, wait, who the hell voted for Xbox? What? All right.
I voted for PlayStation to go. The other two gentlemen voted for Xbox to go.
Yikes, and I voted for PlayStation to go. My mind will not let me accept that you guys do not agree with me. Okay, this makes for a very interesting third round then, because now Nintendo versus, and I was going to say Xbox or PlayStation, but now we have to do does Nintendo beat both? I guess they're like a tag team. Which one goes, Nintendo or these latecomers?
Okay, here's my take on this one, and I'm going to kind of tie it in with something I mentioned earlier. I said that I would only miss Sega from a purely nostalgic point. there is way too much nostalgia in Nintendo. They do too much for them to disappear. And for the record, when it comes to current gen, and I might take a lot of heat for this, so I'm talking PS4, Xbox One, and the Wii U. If I could only choose one of those right now, it's the Wii U.
The Wii U to go.
No, I want that one to stay. The other two can go if I could only pick one.
The Wii U, really?
It sounds crazy, but game lineup-wise, I don't think it's even close right now.
I love it.
That's true. That may be a temporary state of affairs, but your point is taken. Brian, where do you stand?
God, I feel like you'd want to play the math and just vote for getting rid of one instead of both.
So you're saying it would be better to just get rid of one and keep two alive at this point?
Yeah.
So we're tied. We're tied with Eric keeping Nintendo around and Brian letting them go. And it's over to you, Nick. I know where you're going to vote.
Yeah, we already know where this is going. And I'm just going to plus one Eric's little spiel on it and say that the other two got to go because he couldn't have put it any better, really.
Oh, this is tough for me. This is tough for me because Brian's logic is totally sound, and yet I long for some golden age of Nintendo that, as we discussed in previous episodes, might never have existed. I am going to... God, this is hard. This is so hard. We're going to end up with another tie. I'm going to vote for Xbox and PlayStation to stick around and Nintendo to go. And that hurts so much for me to say.
Weak.
It's definitely weak.
Well, if it helps, the golden age that you would be voting on is the golden age you already had anyway.
That's true. So. That's true. This is definitely not Nintendo's golden age, although I do hold out some hope for the near future.
Of course.
You know, if the last E3 was anything to say, and we did an episode on the last E3, and we all agreed that Nintendo was the clear winner of E3 2014. So, it's possible.
Nintendo, with their E3 1996 lineup, won.
I am still not seeing a problem with that at all.
Yeah, they really did kill it.
Okay, Brian, your point is, again, valid, because that was pretty much the E3 1996 lineup, but Nintendo can just keep trucking out the same lineup, and it ends up being really well received. It's true.
You know, Nintendo's biggest problem in the middle there, late in the Wii's lifespan, or actually not even late in the Wii's lifespan, maybe a year and a half into the Wii lifespan, and then early into the Wii U's lifespan, was they kind of forgot the mantra of, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And they tried to fix what wasn't broken.
Explain.
The GameCube was a perfect Nintendo console. In fact, it was obviously a huge step over the N64. The N64 took some risks, but ultimately it was still Nintendo. The GameCube actually feels like the complete spiritual successor to what was, I guess, the Super Nintendo, where I felt like, wow, Nintendo has Nintendo again, and this is perfect. And then again, they, even more so actually, with the Wii U, or the Wii and then the Wii U, decided, let's gamble a little bit. They didn't need to.
Interesting. So Nintendo, a little too out there, a little too edgy, and risk-taking for your taste.
You know, more than any other video game company, major branch anyway, let's say, you know, a console company, they have a legacy, they have a history, and they don't need to really deviate from it.
Man, I kind of want to change my vote now. No. Moving on. You got good points all around. Let's step into the Nintendo universe for a second and decide, and I'm going to let Eric go first on this one. Which one goes? Super Mario Brothers or The Legend of Zelda?
Son of a bitch.
Yeah. I feel like I'm going to be the only one on this one, but Zelda's got to go.
Ouch. And Nick?
Well, given my weekly geekly update today, I'm going to say that... Suicide. Seppuku. I can't choose one. They're both too strong.
Okay, Nick suicides, meaning that only Zelda has a vote for it now. And Brian?
Yeah, I'd get rid of Zelda.
Zelda goes. Two for Zelda. Oh man, that means there's no way for me to save Zelda besides suiciding one of you, and then you guys could counter-suicide, but I have the benefit of the list and knowing what's coming up, so...
Or you could counter Nick and force him to vote.
I could resurrect Nick. I could use my suicide to resurrect Nick.
Oh, Phoenix down me, please.
See, the thing is, wow. All right, just for the sake of letting my feelings be known, I'm going to say that Super Mario... God, I can't even say it.
You can't. It's a really tough one.
For the sake of saying that The Legend of Zelda stays, I will say that Super Mario Brothers must go, but God, that was painful. Why did I even put that on the list? I'm so sorry you committed suicide, Nick, but you chose a good point at which to do it. And let's move on with your forlorn spirit in tow.
Thank you.
Okay. Moving on. This is a multi-platform question, and I am going to let you lead off on this one, Eric. Which one goes? Dragon Age or Mass Effect?
Oh, Dragon Age is out the door. That's not even, that's a no-brainer.
Okay. Oh. Wow. Nick?
I'm going to have to agree with Eric on this one. Like, God, you were the one that told me to give, like, Mass Effect another shot, and it is so fucking good.
It really is.
So, I love that series, so yeah, Dragon Age has got to go. If I wanted to play an MMO, I'm going to play Final Fantasy 14.
Well, it's a, there is an MMO, or wait, Dragon Age is a an actual like RPG, though. It's not an MMO in the sense.
It is. I was just kidding. I heard tidbits of how it plays like a single-player MMO, but...
I will admit it does. Okay. Brian?
I could not care any less about either of these titles. I'm going to vote Mass Effect just to piss off Eric.
It worked.
I would join you in pissing off Eric, but I absolutely love Mass Effect, so I can't. And I speak as someone who also thinks Dragon Age is cool, but admittedly played partially through the first one and never got any farther than that, but would like to revisit at some point. So Dragon Age goes. I was hoping one of you guys was a big Dragon Age fanboy, but it wasn't to be.
No. Mass Effect is my favorite game series of all time.
Such a great soundtrack, too. The soundtrack is just, man, just like all around that game. Like, one of the better games in recent times.
Yeah, I'm glad you decided to get on board with that, Nick. It really is good.
If your only gripe with the series is that the ending, the cinematic ending, wasn't enough for you, then you're just begging to find something to not like about it.
The ending was fine. I got the supposedly bad ending, and anybody who didn't like that is stupid.
The reality is, the game experience is so good, I could care less about the ending.
Right.
The only thing that bothered me about the ending is that it ended.
Well, you have 4 to look forward to, no?
Well, whether it's 4 or not, I don't know. It's definitely going to take place in the Mass Effect universe, but no Commander Shepard.
Yeah, poor Shepard.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it. All right. Let's move on. There will definitely be some blood in the water after this one, and we will test Eric's favorite game series assertion about Mass Effect. Here it comes, and Brian, I'm going to let you lead off. Metroid or Halo?
Oh, I'd get rid of Halo. That's
Halo's
easy.
Halo's gone. And Nick?
I would get rid of Metroid.
Whoa. This is getting tense, and that was not the vote I was expecting from you. And Eric?
I, too, get rid of Metroid, only because no game has brought me and my friends together socially more than Halo.
You guys are on crack. Halo goes, Metroid stays. That's all there is to it, but we're still tied.
Nice.
I enjoy Halo. I enjoy the campaign. I absolutely do not like the zany jumping around goofiness of the multiplayer. I understand that is part and parcel of the Halo experience, but the jumping just drives me bananas, and I don't know why. It's so dumb and goofy. Like, and I know we've had this conversation before, Eric. It just bugs me, and I don't know why. So we're tied, Halo and Metroid. Anybody wanna be honorable and win this for their team?
Go for it, Nick.
I don't really have much to say. That was just like an opinion on the whim. I've had more experience with Halo than I have with Metroid. So, I mean, like, I played my fair share of Metroid, but it's just... I don't know. Like Eric said, like, the... Just, it kind of... In my opinion, it kind of changed, like, the way online gaming like was seen and started as. Like, I think it was almost the gateway to like online gaming for a console.
No question. Halo is extremely important. I will never not acknowledge its contributions, and I really liked the story, especially in the earlier games. But Samus and like that whole, just her whole story arc, or at least as I imagine it, is just way cooler than Master Chief.
I mean, and for the record, like, I absolutely blew at multiplayer. I just like the single player campaign better.
You just jump a lot, Nick. The key is to just jump a lot.
Noted.
All right, moving on. Eric, you got quiet. I hope I didn't offend you.
No, I'm good. And it's the point of this game is you should be naming things that make this a challenge. And we've yet to come across any one question, aside from maybe Mass Effect and Dragon Age, where I was really not at least slightly torn on the answer.
Good. All right. Then you'll like the next one. Actually, I'm kind of curious about how this one's going to go. Here it comes. BioShock or Borderlands? And I'm going to let Brian lead off on this one again.
That one's actually really hard. I'll abstain.
So you're suiciding?
Sure.
Brian dies. Nice. Two suicides. I didn't think I'd get two. Okay, let's have Eric go next.
Borderlands is dead. BioShock lives.
Borderlands is dead. BioShock lives. Okay, and Nick?
BioShock goes. I played them, but I just enjoyed Borderlands more. I mean, granted, I didn't get like stellar drops because the drop system in those games are broken, but I enjoyed Borderlands, not for really the story, just for how it played.
I can't handle the fetch questing. I just can't.
That's understandable.
Yeah, if that's not the style of gameplay you like, Borderlands definitely isn't for you. However, it is a style of gameplay I like, and I really just like Borderlands' look, feel, lore, style, everything. Even though BioShock Infinite was awesome, I'm going to vote for Borderlands sticking around. So BioShock has to go. All right. Goodbye, BioShock. Moving on. Now, we're kind of stepping away from video games for the first time in a few. And I'm going to let you go first on this one, Eric, because it's going to be tough. Although, no, it's not. I know your answer. Which one goes? Franchise, creature, what have you? Alien or Predator?
Well, you know where I'm going with this. Come on. Yep. And I'm not saying it's easy, but when you're me, it's kind of easy. Predator's got to go.
Okay. Bye-bye, Predator. And Nick?
Predator's got to go.
Okay. I'm going to let Brian end this one, so I will go next and say Alien goes.
No, I would get rid of Predator.
Oh, I love that first Predator movie so much, it's hard for me to lose.
But if you put that first Predator movie side by side with the first Alien movie, I don't see it being a contest.
The first Alien movie is a film masterpiece. The first Predator movie is a childhood wet dream come true of like human action figures fighting aliens in the forest. It was awesome.
No argument. I love the film. I'm not debating that at all. And this was only an easy one because I'm an absolute fanatic when it comes to Alien. So
yeah. Alien as a franchise is better. Even the bad ones are probably... I mean, Predator really just went way off the rails.
Yeah, I'm not really a huge Alien fan, but, I mean, one movie doesn't make a great franchise for me. Like, Predator is just very kind of humdrum.
Yeah, the first one was awesome. The second one was okay. They've just been kind of, I don't really care about this, like the crossovers and stuff ever since.
I liked the Robert Rodriguez Predators better than Alien, or better than Predator 2.
On the alien planet or whatever, when they're like being hunted?
Yeah, I liked that better than Danny Glover.
I didn't really like what they did with Lawrence Fishburne's character in that. I felt like they kind of squandered his potential by making him like just a madman.
Yeah, a little bit.
But still, Predator goes, Alien stays, and even though I voted for Predator, I can understand why, and I can walk away with my head held high as we move on to a really fun one. Which one goes? And I'll let Brian go first on this. Independence Day or Battlefield Earth?
Oh, I'd get rid of Independence Day.
Nice. Why? Because Battlefield Earth sucked.
But it was funny suck. I do actually like Independence Day, but it's just one of those like, oh, it's on, I guess I'll watch it. But Battlefield Earth, I love that. I'd watch that movie any time of day or night. There is nothing better to laugh at than Battlefield Earth.
I'm going to go second this time and say that, yes, I also get rid of Independence Day to keep Battlefield Earth around because Battlefield Earth is hilarious. And I really hate Independence Day.
Yes, you do.
And I'm going to let Nick go next, and then Eric is definitely going to be the grand finale on this one.
Gonna get rid of Battlefield Earth because I love Will Smith's witty antics in Independence Day.
Come on!
It hurts.
Just ribbing you guys, but I actually stick with my answer.
Okay, so two Battlefield Earths going away, one Independence Day going away.
I'm biting my nails. I have no idea what Eric's going to vote.
Yeah, and I stated that wrong. Two Independence Days, one Battlefield Earth. Go on, Eric.
I'm going to throw a total curveball at you and say I'm going to actually change up the choices and say if I had to get rid of Independence Day or not getting kicked in the balls every day for the rest of my life, I would still get rid of Independence Day.
Brian, your nail biting can cease now. Eric answered as predicted. Independence Day is, for the record, the worst movie ever made. Agreed. Battlefield Earth is a horrible movie, which is hilarious. There's nothing funny about Independence Day. Independence Day is a movie made to hurt people.
I'll tell you why Independence Day is a worse film, and it's not necessarily all the movie's fault. They're both horrible films. They're both absolutely horrible films. However, there is no one I've ever met in my life that was like, what do you mean you don't like Battlefield Earth? That has never happened. That has happened exactly zero times.
Right, right. Whereas Independence Day is one of those, oh man, that was such an awesome 1996 blockbuster.
Yeah, I hear it all the time. I liked that movie. That movie's fun. You're stupid. I hate you so much.
In Brian's defense, I want to say, Brian, if it's on, you'll watch it because it's an enjoyable popcorn flick. You don't view it as in any way being fine or acceptable cinema, right?
No, I mean, I don't think it deserves the vitriol it's earned over the years, but it's not, like, my favorite or anything.
Okay, good.
It's a popcorn flick. It's a blockbuster, so people don't have to think.
Yeah, it excels at making you not want to think.
Well, yeah, not only do you not have to think, you're obviously not thinking.
It's discouraged.
Right.
Right, 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 right. Just turn off your brain and take all this mid-90s special effects in. Okay, four more, and these are going to get a little more difficult, so here we go, starting with the least difficult in my opinion. Which one goes? I'm going to let you go first, Nick. Boba Fett or Lando Calrissian?
I'm going to say that Boba Fett goes.
Boba Fett goes. Good choice, by the way. What about you, Brian?
Boba Fett.
Boba Fett goes. I like the way this is going. Eric?
Boba Fett goes. Lando is more vital to the story.
Absolutely. Could not agree with you guys more. I'm glad I do a podcast with you. I hate Boba Fett. He's such an overplayed bit character with a just devoted following that I don't understand. I would do anything to get rid of that jackass to include, maybe, possibly, but no, not really, expanding Jar Jar's role.
I love Boba Fett, but I'm going to explain where that love comes from. That love comes from an entire childhood. And it didn't matter what I was buying, whether it was Star Wars figures or G.I. Joe figures or Inhumanoids or whatever toy you want to throw out there. If it had a helmet, I liked it better. Always. Than just some dude. If you gave me Snake Eyes and then, like, Rock and Roll from the G.I. Joe lineup, I'm taking Snake Eyes every day. The man never said one word, but he looks cool.
Right, but Boba Fett, I don't want to get into the multitude of reasons why I hate Boba Fett. I just always saw him as a guy with like crappy repainted stormtrooper armor. Even as a kid, I thought his character was stupid. I thought his action figure was stupid. He just never sat well with me. And I never understood the continued love affair people have with this guy when Lucas basically told you that he's just a throwaway, crummy character based on the chump-like way in which he died.
You know, he is kind of like the smoking of Star Wars, in that the only real quality that either of them have is, you look cool.
Right, okay. You look cool, but I wouldn't recommend you for long-term use.
Right.
Okay, Boba Fett goes, thank you guys for that. I really want to thank you. This was the highlight of the show for me so far. All right, next one. Which one goes? And I'll let you lead this one off, Brian. Terminator or RoboCop?
RoboCop goes.
RoboCop gone. We got one vote for RoboCop. Eric?
Terminator goes.
Terminator goes 1-1. And I'm going to vote for Terminator going. So, Nick, it's all up to you.
Well, RoboCop.
RoboCop goes. Oh, man. So we end up with a tie, right? By my count?
Correct.
I can sum up why Terminator has to go in two words. And the second word is furlong.
I can sum up why RoboCop has to go. It's called RoboCop 3.
Yeah. I can give you that one. Although Terminator Salvation wasn't exactly spectacular.
The remake of RoboCop was not too great either.
No. Do we include that? Does that have to be included?
I guess. They're going to reboot Terminator soon, so... Yeah, Terminator I think peaked at 2, and RoboCop peaked at 1.
No, I liked RoboCop 2.
RoboCop 2 with the nuke and all that?
Yeah.
It was all right. I didn't hate it.
I liked it.
Brian, what do you think?
It just comes down to, like, having more style or whatever. Like, RoboCop, again, was cool. I liked the first movie. I would watch it. But, dude, Arnie? Badass, like, homicidal maniac. And then he's the good guy in the same clothes and in the same... I love it. I love it. Terminator's way cooler.
I'll be honest. I watched Terminator 2 now, which was, like, a highlight. And as a kid, I was blown away by Terminator 2. I go watch it now, and it actually doesn't really hold up all that well. It's kind of cheesy and awful.
The effects aren't as good as they were, obviously.
The dialogue is a nightmare. But that's mostly Edward Furlong's fault.
Okay. All right, moving on. Which one goes? Captain Kirk or Captain Picard? Eric, I'll let you go first because I already know your answer.
This one hurts, though. And I know what the last one is going to be. I know what your last question is going to be, because it's obvious, so I have to save my suicide.
Yes.
Because everyone knows. It was the first thing I thought of when you even proposed this episode, and I was like, that's going to be the
end. Of course. We all know what the last question is.
Of course
we
do.
Of course.
Okay, so, yeah, I got to get rid of Kirk.
Kirk goes. Goodbye, Kirk. All right, so one for Kirk. Nick?
Getting rid of Captain Kirk.
Getting rid of the womanizing Captain Kirk. Goodbye, Captain Kirk. He makes out with blue chicks, are you sure?
Yeah, I'm fairly positive.
Okay. Brian?
Kirk.
Yeah, you know what, guys? I don't really see this as a controversy. I understand people are fans of the classic series, and it is good, but Picard is so much cooler a captain, man. Like, way better.
You know, I always make this point. When it comes to original series versus Next Generation, and forget everything else, you know, reboot, forget what Tom lovingly calls C-SPAN 9. forget all that stuff for a minute. Just take the two. When it comes to the TV show, I don't think it's even a contest. Next Generation blows the original series out of the water. However, I actually like the original cast movies better.
I can probably agree with you on that. The original cast movies. I just watched Wrath of Khan a couple weeks back, I think on Netflix or whatever streaming service I happen to be looking at, and that movie was awesome, man.
Oh, yeah, it's a masterpiece.
Okay, Kirk goes, though. Unanimous. Let it be known that we are Picard men here at Literature Travaganza Podcast, and let it also be known that we are about to, of course, tackle the final question. Do I need to tell you guys what it is? Eric, you seem to know what it is. Does anybody else know what it is or have any question as to what it might be?
Star Trek goes.
Okay, yep, and Star Trek goes. Right, and Eric?
Suicide.
Eric commits suicide because he cannot get rid of Nick, your choice?
Star Trek goes.
Only because you have to vote. And, yeah, I also commit suicide, which means Star Trek goes.
Oh, it hurts.
We committed suicide, but our ghosts can go on to the next realm, satisfied that they did not vote on Star Wars versus Star Trek going.
It was a Pyrrhic victory, it really was.
I'll be honest, it's really not that hard for me. I like Star Trek. I really like Next Generation. Star Wars is magic to me, yo.
You're right about that, Brian. It's, oh God, this is really a hard one. It's the memories that I associate with the two that are different. Star Trek, it was sitting on whatever night it came on over at my dad's girlfriend's place with like Little Caesars and watching it like religiously for like a year. It was awesome. Like one of the better years of my life, you know? So I have like that memory of that, but you can't deny the spectacle of Star Wars, you know?
This is the Frosted Mini Wheat question for me, really, because the Star Wars is the sugar-coated fantasy magical side. It is. But my science brain always will love Star Trek.
Yeah, I like Star Trek's realism, such as it is. And man, it's almost like I like space fantasy and I like science fantasy and I like science fiction. And these two are the pinnacle of both subgenres. And it's hard for me to choose. What are your thoughts, Nick?
I just kind of agree with what, like, Brian says. I mean, there's just so much more to Star Wars. It just brought a lot more to the table. Like, I guess, as far as, especially in the, like, movies and such. But, this isn't really easy, though.
It's not, which is why I saved my suicide. I'm sorry I cheated, because I knew the list.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Yeah, not easy at all.
If you ask mature me, I might say Star Trek. But there's just no getting past how important... I mean, like, how 80% of my waking moment was spent thinking about Star Wars when I was a kid.
You know something? Had I not had the suicide out and I contemplated things from that perspective, Brian, what's on my mind more, even now, I think is Star Wars. So, I'm glad I committed suicide, but...
I talked to my guidance counselor about should I be an X-Wing pilot or a Millennium Falcon pilot when I grew up.
What was the guidance counselor's advice?
Oh, I wound up in therapy.
I'm going to argue that there's more career opportunities in X-Wing, just...
The hiring standards are lower for the Empire, though. I mean, they just hired bazillions of TIE fighter pilots, so there it is. Awesome. Of course, that was a pretty predictable which one goes. Should we revisit the which one goes theme in the future, I will have a hard time coming up with questions, although there's other genres and series I think we maybe didn't touch on. So what do you think? You think we should do this again in the future, guys? This could be one of our 5 or 6 recurring segments that never recurs.
Actually, there was one other question that I figured was going to be close to the top that never came up.
I'm surprised you didn't do Mothra versus Q.
I was going to say Marvel or DC. That was the one that surprised me that never came up.
That was on the list. So, yeah, I was trying to pare back the list because I didn't want to like blow everything in one episode.
All right, we'll save that one.
Yeah, we'll say Marvel versus DC. And you were saying who versus Q, Brian?
Rodan, Mothra, I don't remember which one I said.
Oh,
giant flying bug versus giant flying bug.
Oh, I was thinking Q from... I hear Q, and I'm like, Star Trek.
That's what I thought, too, right away, yeah.
But actually, yeah, I didn't even think of the kaiju stuff. We could consult with Eric's brother on that. Our resident kaiju expert, Jordan. But I think that we need no further consultation when it comes to this list. It is decided. The voting is complete. We're all dead, and we've reached the end of the list, so... Anything else to discuss, guys, or should we segue seamlessly into our farewell? Seamless segue it is. Not seamless segue gets the most votes for going, so seamless segue it is, even though this is hardly seamless. Okay, listeners, if you enjoyed this episode, we invite you to come back and vote for us to stay week after week by subscribing to our podcast and rating us favorably, maybe writing us an awesome review, as well as checking us out on the streaming service known as Stitcher if you prefer that sort of listening experience.
Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram, add us to your circle on Google+, and join our Facebook group, the Nerdstravaganza HQ.
And as always, check out nerdstravaganza.com, and if you have any questions or comments, email us at nerdstravaganza@gmail.com.
And based on those, Brian, you gotta go.
Brian goes. Oh, no.
Social media always goes.
Ouch.
I think you're having a stroke.
No, it's not that.
Do you smell burnt toast?
Cinnamon Toast Crunch is what I smell. No,
oh, well, then that's an awesome stroke.
I don't think it's a stroke. It's just the way like my elbow is resting on this table. Like as soon as I take it off, the feeling comes back. It's weird.
Yeah, no, that I've had something similar like that.
I wonder if you were dying and your life was flashing before your eyes, if you would smell Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Wouldn't be a bad smell.
No, I think that would be the sign of a life well lived.
I'd rather smell a toaster strudel, but I'll take some.
With the extra frosting.
Oh, yeah.
That was always the problem. You always got to the last toaster strudel, and there was no more frosting because you inevitably used one of the extra ones already.
Did I ever tell you guys my strategy for those? I told Nick, I think.
Yeah, you did.
Let's record this as an outtake. This is funny.